Good to be back this evening that we might continue and conclude our Lord's Day worship. It's good to see each of you here. I noticed that there are several fans in operation, which says something about the temperature inside the building. Nevertheless, you are here. Despite the discomfort you might be experiencing, you chose to be here this evening that we might worship God and that we might study from His Word. Brother Gary Davis read for us from 2 Timothy 2 and the familiar verse 19. I want to focus in just a moment on verse 19, but I'd like to begin with verse 15, 2 Timothy 2:15, and this is a passage that most of us are very familiar with. Paul admonishes his son in the gospel, Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, or give all diligence to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing or handling aright the word of truth. Now you remember Jesus in praying to his Father in John chapter 17 and verse 17 said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. In John 8:32, Jesus affirmed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Verse 31 says, then said Jesus to those disciples who believed on him, if you continue in my word, then shall you be my disciples indeed. Note the correlation between continuing in his word and being his disciple and being made free by the truth. Verse number 16, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And you do have profane and vain, empty talk and teaching in the religious world today, and literally litters the religious landscape. And those persons who engage in such will increase unto more ungodliness. Profane and vain babbling, false teaching will not result in spiritual growth and development. It will not lead to the development of godly character. It will rather cause a deterioration of our spiritual vitality and an undermining of our spiritual health. Paul further describes them by saying, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. These were characters that were not operating in the interests of God's program. They were not operating in the interests of the church and the spiritual welfare of Christians. They had defected from the faith. And you still have folk defecting from the faith. And in describing them in verse number 18, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. You know, there are some whose faith is being overthrown today. And the unfortunate thing about false teachers, the unfortunate thing about those who have been led astray themselves by false teaching and the influence of those who are ungodly, the tragic thing is not just that they have erred from the faith, but that they also influence others to error from the faith. That's why we have to always be watchful. We have to always be alert. We have to always be sober. We have to always be vigilant as the people of God. And we have to subscribe to Paul's admonition in 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. We have to have a commitment to follow the directive in 2 Timothy 2:15. We have to study to show ourselves approved, so that when we hear false teaching, we can recognize it. When people like Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have erred from the faith, try to influence us, we can compare what they are saying, what they are teaching, what they are promoting to the Word of God. You know, John says, 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, because there are many false prophets. You know, try the spirits, whether they be of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And no false prophet is going to identify himself as such. With his good words and fair speeches, he will try to deceive the hearts of the simple and palm himself off smoothly as being the real thing, as being an authentic messenger of God. So there are some who, concerning the truth, have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrow the faith of some. Verse 19. Nevertheless, despite the fact that there are false teachers, despite the fact that there are those who have erred from the faith, despite the fact that there are those who have successfully and tragically overthrown the faith of some, despite those facts, the foundation of God standeth sure. No matter how many folks defect from the faith, no matter how many people leave the church, no matter how many people throw in the cards, no matter how many people turn their back on the Lord. You remember those in John 6, many of the disciples turn and walk with him no more. Jesus was not overly disturbed by their defection. He looked at the disciples and he said, will you also go away? And I appreciate and love the response given by Brother Peter. You know, Peter was impetuous. Peter was quick on the trigger. Sometimes he made some wrong responses, but on this occasion, he made an excellent response, as he did on other occasions as well. He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. If you leave the church, where are you going? If you leave the Lord, to whom shall you go? If you abandon the faith, if you defect from the truth, where are you going? I'd advise you to maintain your position and status of faithfulness to the Lord. Despite those who leave, despite those who give up, despite those who defect, despite those who turn and walk away from the church, the foundation of God standeth sure. You don't have to worry about God because we can always count on him. You don't have to worry about God because he is reliable. We don't have to worry about God because he is stable and he's always going to be there and he is not going to change. James 1:17, every good and perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Yeah, God's going to always be there and be stable. And that's why we need to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts and lean not unto our own understanding, but in all of our ways acknowledge him, knowing that he shall direct our paths. No matter how many folks leave the faith, no matter how many folks give up on Jesus, the Lord knoweth them that are his. You know, you don't have to take a spiritual paternity test to prove that you are a child of God. You know, in a lot of instances on the physical side, where paternity is doubted, you can take a paternity test and match DNA with the father and the child. And if there's no match, then there's no paternity. But when it comes to children of God, sons of God, God lets us know in no uncertain terms that we are his children, that we are sons of God. Notice verse 14 of Romans chapter 8 and following. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And to be led by the Spirit of God is to be led and directed and governed, monitored by the Word of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Daddy, Daddy, or Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. When our spirit bears witness with God's spirit based upon the teaching of his word, we can conclude that we are children of God. So there's a built-in paternity test in the word of God. And as long as you are following the word of God and have obeyed the word of God, you don't have to worry about, I don't know if I'm saved or not. I don't know if I'm a child of God or not. I don't know if I'm a Christian or not. There's built-in assurance of the paternity of God, our Heavenly Father. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And then he says, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity, or depart from sin. That's another way of saying sin or lawlessness. That word iniquity. When one practices iniquity, he practices a course of life and behavior that is inconsistent with the word of God. You know, when you go to the airport and you plan to visit some distant city, or maybe a city that's not too distant. When you go to the airport, you see notable signs, and you are given specific directions. One set of directions lead you to what they call departures. And of course, the other set of directions lead you to what they call arrivals. If you're going to pick up somebody who has come to your city from a distant city, then you will follow the arrival directions. If you are going to be dropped off, that you might leave your city and go to a distant city, then you will follow the directions that lead to departures. Now, in order for you to arrive at your destination, it is necessary, prerequisitely, that you depart. You cannot arrive if you don't ever depart. You will never arrive if you never depart. This is true when it comes to taking flights to distant places. It is also true in life. It is also true on a spiritual level. If you expect to arrive at a better place, if you expect to get from where you are to where you desire to go, it is necessary that you depart before you can arrive. And one of the things, too, you have to pay. You know, they don't usually let you fly free. You have to pay. I had to pay extra. You know, they've gotten to the point where any way they can get some money from you, they'll do it. When I checked in my luggage, the man said, okay, you got two bags you want to check? He said, that'll be $60. And like Goober from Andy Griffith, I said, what? $60! What do you mean $60? I've already paid for my ticket online. He said, this is $60. A lady just before me, they put her baggage on the scales. They said, ma'am, both your bags are overweight. She said, what does that mean? He said, you owe us $224. I said, man, these folk are crazy. And not only are they crazy, they ain't got no sense either. But literally, they make billions of dollars from extra fees. When you go to check in online, they ask you want to change seats? You want to get a special seat near the aisle? You can do that for $13 more. In the middle, by the window, near the aisle, doesn't make any difference. Long as I can depart and arrive safely, of course, at my destination, then I'll be fine. But Paul says, let everyone that identifies with Christ, let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Do you want to arrive? Then you have to depart. You can't just stay right where you are and expect to arrive where you want to go or where you need to be. If you want to arrive at light, it's necessary to depart from darkness. If you want to arrive at hope, it is necessary to depart from despair. If you want to arrive at a place of selflessness, it is necessary to depart from the station of selfishness. If you want to arrive at salvation, it is necessary to depart from damnation or condemnation. If you want to arrive at a place of the practice of generosity, it is necessary that you depart from a spirit of covetousness. If you want to arrive at a place of strong fear, you must, faith, you must depart from fear. If you want to arrive in the church on a spiritual level, you must depart from the world. If you want to arrive at the constant practice of love, it's necessary that you depart from hatred. If you want to arrive at and experience the new, it is mandatory that you depart from the old. If you want to arrive at morality and godly living, it is necessary to depart from immorality. Nevertheless, the foundation of the Lord standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Let everyone who nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. If you want to arrive in heaven, then you must depart from this present world and this present world's system. If you want to arrive at spiritual maturity, it is absolutely necessary that you depart from spiritual immaturity. If you want to arrive at a more comprehensive and clear understanding of God's word, it is necessary that you depart from a state of a paucity of knowledge. It is necessary to leave ignorance behind if you are to arrive properly at a fuller understanding of what the Lord's will is. You have to depart in order to arrive. If you're here this evening and maybe you are in a state of unfaithfulness as a child of God, but you are not satisfied with being in this unenviable position, in order to arrive at a state of faithfulness and commitment and dedication to God, you have to depart from unfaithfulness. You can do that through repentance, confession, and prayer. If you're still in the world, if you're outside the ark of safety, if you're outside the church of our Lord Jesus Christ, it is necessary for you to arrive in the church, for you to be translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son, per Colossians 1:13. It's necessary that you depart from the kingdom of darkness in order to arrive to the kingdom of God's dear Son. And you can do that through obedience to the gospel, by hearing the glorious news of the gospel, how Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures, how he was buried and how he was resurrected the third day. Believe that with all of your heart. Repent of all of your sins. Confess your faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and submit to baptism in water for the remission of your sins, and you can begin a brand new life. If you want to depart from the old life in order that you might arrive at the new life, you can do it this evening. If you are here in either category or situation, we urge you to respond even now as we together stand and as we sing.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was.
shame.